Hello, and welcome back to WTBQ and to Shannon's Corner. And I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, in WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 11:10 AM. And I hope you're doing well today in our nice rainy weather here. And we're going to talk a little bit, a very interesting topic that very few of us, unless you're scientifically minded, think about a lot. I'm going to talk about a wonderful new book called The Age of Radiance, The Epic Rise and Dramatic Fall of the Atomic Era. And this is something that I never think about. Now, maybe I hate to be sexist here, but I suspect men think about this more than I do, maybe more than women do, unless you're more scientifically minded. But this is a wonderful book that will really bring up your interest in radioactive and why we, and this is one of the things I want to ask my guest, Craig Nelson. He's going to be up with us in just a moment, why we are all slightly radioactive and why we need to be a little more educated about this. You know, there was a time during the Cold War that people were very excited about this kind of thing, the atomic era coming, and, you know, all this, you know, excitement around it. And now we're petrified. Now, after Chernobyl and things like that, we are actually petrified of things like this. And maybe that's good and maybe that's bad. And I don't have the answers to that. But my guest today, Craig Nelson, does. And I want to welcome Craig Nelson to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Thank you, Shannon. Before we get started, I need to back up and tell you there's an awful lot of women in this story.
Oh, this is true.
Epic corner of women's history in this book. First, you have the first woman to ever win a Nobel Prize and one of the only people ever to get two. That's Marie Curie.
Uh-huh.
And the book tells the fantastic story of how it turned out through a series of coincidences that her own daughter became the second woman to ever win a Nobel Prize.
This is true.
Isn't it great? And then
it
there's
is.
A woman written out of history by Nazis, Lisa Meitner. Mm-hmm. And then there's the story of the women in our own neighborhood who were painting radium dials onto things, and they sharpened the points in their mouths, and they ended up poisoning themselves because of that, and that became the Occupational Safety Health Administration that monitors workplace safety today. So, big women in this story.
I'm terrific, thanks. I mean,
good.
Thanks for bringing that up, because it's so true, and you write these things very lively and very magical. I mean, Maria Curie's life when she was younger, and, you know, how she, you know, her sister, and then, of course, about her daughter, and, you know, her marriage and all that. So we really understand her, and it is very lively, and it's very exciting that women are very involved in this. And maybe I am being sexist, but I think that men usually understand this more than women do, but certainly there's been some brilliant women in this. But why have we pulled away from it, or am I being wrong? I mean, are we a little afraid of this now?
Absolutely. You know, speaking to your last point, though, someone said, I can't believe you wrote a book on nuclear physics that I could read on a play.
That's true.
That was my goal. But anyway, your question is very interesting, because what I believe is that we went through this incredible period of exploration. And when you hear the stories of Marie Curie, like she would leave out her radium samples out on the walls so that when she came into her lab, first thing in the morning before the sun was even up, they would be glowing there on the walls, and she'd see them like aquatic fireflies. Or when you hear a description of plutonium, that you could hold it in your hands and this silvery metal would be warm like a puppy. I mean, it's there's a very beautiful sense of exploration and the mystery of what they're discovering, but there's also a tremendous horror movie aspect to all this, because mm-hmm. we know what's coming next.
Right.
You know? And that's what makes this story so dramatic.
And, you know, you mentioned that it's easy to read, and it is. I mean, it's the most unscientific scientific book I have ever read. I mean, it's true. I mean, it reads like a great novel, and then I have to remember this is not a novel. This is real. But you have all these wonderful stories in there that really inform us and bring us up to date on things. So it's really amazing, and it's kind of, you know, there's a certain magical quality in all of this. But there's also, as I say, a certain danger quality. What about, are we all afraid of blowing up? Are we all afraid of somebody's going to get these dirty bombs or have another big Chernobyl? Or, you know, is this the worry we have with everybody?
Well, I like to say that Americans first learned of nuclear science by seeing pictures of the victims of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And then we first learned about nuclear power by the coincidence of the meltdown at Three Mile Island with the movie The China Syndrome playing in movie theaters at the same time. So this entire topic has this pull. And 5 years ago, before I started working on this book, if you had asked me what I thought of radiation, I would have said sinister, cancer, infection, danger.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it has this horrible negative cloud. But what's very unfortunate is in fact, nuclear has provided us with a cornerstone of medicine. It's provided fantastic transportation for submarines and in our military, and it does a lot of wonderful things too. So it's nice to be more educated about it and have a more balanced outlook and realize the most of radiation you have to fear is sunscreen.
Okay. So why are we all radioactive? You say your family is radioactive, your friends are radioactive, your pets are radioactive. Is this just because of microwaves, or are there more things in our lives, like you mentioned, x-rays and things like that? Does that make us radioactive?
Well, I always thought that radioactivity was very rare and very dangerous.
Right,
and
I
it turns
too.
Out that neither is true, that it's everywhere. It's rising up at us from the ground, from uranium decaying in the bedrock. In fact, it's what helps keep the Earth warm. We would be as cold as the moon without radioactivity in our bedrock. And then it's falling down at us from cosmic rays on the sky to the point where if you live in Denver, you get twice as much as you do living in sea level at the Hudson Valley. So it's coming, it's such a vital part of the Earth that it's really, you can say it's organic. And it means that all human beings are, in fact, radioactive. And when we get together, we irradiate each other. So the next time you're in an audience at a movie theater and everyone's laughing together and you feel that warm glow, maybe it's radioactivity. But the second part of that is that it takes a whole lot more than you and I or probably anybody listening ever guessed to be dangerous.
Uh-huh.
So, I always thought a little touch of radioactivity would kill you. It takes a whole lot to hurt you.
So like most things in life, there's good and there's bad to it. It depends on how we use it as people. Why
exactly.
have we used it so negatively? I mean, is this like, you know, governments, there's a dishonesty in governments and industry that makes us feel that maybe it's not even a dishonesty, but certainly that uses it in a more sinister way. We could use it in a positive way to make us go where we want. Which way are we doing it? Are we using it more negatively in the bigger picture, or more positively?
Well, I think what we have seen with this is an educational and PR catastrophe, where if you actually look at, you know, 75 people died in Chernobyl, right? But 4,000 died in Bhopal. But we barely remember the Bhopal pesticide disaster in India, but Chernobyl is still with us in our memory, you know? And I think it's because industry and government has done such a terrible job every time one of these accidents happened. I mean, Three Mile Island is remembered as this catastrophe. Three Mile Island was an example of actually that the safety features of atomic power plants in America worked. No one was touched by Three Mile Island. Not even the workers at the plant were contaminated by Three Mile Island. But we remember it as a catastrophe because the government and the industry did such a lousy job after it happened. So I think unless there is a fantastic technological breakthrough, and I'm hoping there is, because we really can't live off energy produced by coal and petroleum and fracking forever, you know. So I hope there's a technological way to do it. But unless there is, I think that nuclear is on its way out, and that's why I say we're in the twilight of the atomic age.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing? It sounds to me, listening to you and reading the book, that it's probably a bad thing.
Well, I have very mixed feelings, because I really do feel that, you know, I would rather live next to an atomic power plant than a coal power plant if I had to, you know. So I think, you know, yes, it would be wonderful if we could get all our electricity from solar and wind and water dams, hydroelectric, but it just isn't going to happen anytime soon. So now we're stuck with petroleum and natural gas and coal, which are extremely damaging to the environment. Besides climate change, it's damaged a terrible 16,000 Americans die every year from the air pollution from coal, you know. And so nuclear compared to all that is much better. So to have to pick between the devil and the deep blue sea, you know, nuclear would be better, but it's done such a terrible job with these PR disasters that it's kind of on the way out. Yeah.
So it's really a power that could keep us warm, that could do wonderful things for us if we learn to use it well. What happens when it's in the hands of the wrong people, as we have seen, you know, we have these disasters? If, you know, you've written the definitive book on this, as I read in a quote that somebody said, this is the best book ever written on this. It's the tome of definitive. There's no question. What would you do if you were the president of the United States, or you could make these choices? What would you do?
I would set up something as big as going to the moon or the building of the atomic bomb to create a new source of electricity and power.
And you think
investing in batteries, investing in renewables, investing in and investing in a nuclear that's both safe and economically efficient.
So years ago, when Maria Curie was around and all these people that you speak about and write about so eloquently, when they were around, they didn't, you know, they were coming upon wonderful discoveries that we have used well and used poorly. If they were to come back now, what would they think of how we've used what they've discovered?
They would wish that we were more educated so that we would make better decisions.
Okay.
You know, but they would want more support for both scientists and engineers who are working on some of these problems.
And they are working on these problems. So there are people as smart as you out there, people as informed as you out there working on these problems. And a book like this could get in the hands of many people that could make a difference, right?
Absolutely. And one of the amazing parts of all this is that every single famous name in this book, Marie Curie, Albert Einstein, Enrico Fermi, Robert Oppenheimer, every single one of them, when they made their great discoveries, they were little nobodies in the middle of nowhere. So there's hope for us all. So if anyone is working on energy in their basement, please keep going.
So, yeah, okay. And you know, that's very possible, because that's exactly how this starts. And reading a book like this, again, it's the Age of Radiance. Reading a book like this can give people that knowledge, that power, that impetus to start something new, to say, wow, I kind of didn't understand all this. I mean, somehow we don't, at least I didn't understand it so well in school. Maybe it's time we understood it better so we can make better decisions for our planet and the future. Craig Nelson, you've also written New York Times bestseller Rocket Man, as well as Thomas Paine, Enlightenment Revolution, and The Birth of a Nation. And this book is really going to go places. The Age of Radiance, The Epic Rise and Dramatic Fall of the Atomic Era. A very important book for everyone to read. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Shannon. It's been terrific.
It's been terrific. You're a great guest. Thank you so much. This is a wonderful book, everybody. I'm really fascinated by this, and I suspect we all should be fascinated. So definitely pick up a copy, The Age of Radiance. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some interesting things about some nonprofits and how you can make a difference in the world in that way. So stay where you are, and we'll be back here on WTBQ in...